You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have absolutely nothing in place regarding illegal immigrants coming from the most severe hotspots in the world with no health care. It doesn't make any sense. And what I'm trying to do is ask the Biden administration to have an accounting for how they deal with the million coming across, how many are tested, how many are released in the United States. And they're basically telling me to go to hell.
Go to hell. That's what Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, says. He gets from the White House, the Biden administration, when he asks, what are you doing about all the illegals that you're setting free into our country, allowing to come in? And in fact, you're transporting them deeper into our country that probably have COVID. Have they been tested? What are you doing about them while you order Americans to mask up even if they've been vaccinated? July 28, 2021. Are you willing to accept this kind of state we're in at this point? I've always said, and I want to stress to you again, I feel compelled to do it every time because I don't want anyone to say, oh, well, Larry said I shouldn't get a vaccination. I've never said that. Larry said you have to get a vaccination. I never said that. What I said is you make the decision for you and your family, relying on the best advice that you get from folks you trust. I appreciate if you trust me. I'm not a doctor. I didn't play a doctor on TV. I don't do it here. But at the same time, you need to make that decision, especially if you have someone in the family who has a morbidity-type condition, be it a child, adult, an older citizen. You have to make those decisions. But the issue I have that I want to drive home over and over again while we have orders and instructions from the CDC now, oh, yeah, you're going to have to mask up again, basically going to cripple our economy again if they get their way. We have illegals all over this nation that are still coming across our border, 1 million, 1 million since the beginning of the Biden administration. We may hit 2 million before we wrap up this year. And the question he's asking, Senator Lindsey Graham is simply asking, in a letter to the Department of Homeland Security, how many of these are being tested for COVID? And then if they are positive, what are you doing? They don't have any numbers. That's why I guess they might be telling him go to hell, because they don't know. And if they don't know, you don't know. Every time I see a spike somewhere, like in Springfield, Missouri, I just have to ask, I wonder if some of those illegals were flown by jet from an Air Force base in Texas on orders of the Biden administration, flown into somewhere in the Midwest, and then maybe given bus tickets to get somewhere else. We got a lot to cover on that today. And, of course, yesterday we had this fact-finding mission, as Pelosi was billing it, the House Committee, Select Committee, looking at January 6th. And the Trump supporters and conservatives all to blame for what happened. I feel compelled again to say that was a wrong action. It was not patriotic. When they're out there battling against police, hitting at them with the whatever they've got in their hand and attacking police, no, you should not have done that. It was wrong, and they should be locked up, those that did that. Those that went inside the Capitol, some might need to be locked up. Some were just, boy, what I'm doing, just looking around. They didn't know what they're doing. But then yesterday, instead of really getting any facts, Pelosi got what she really wanted. Emotion. Tears. I am probably one of the biggest supporters for our blue, be they Capitol Police or D.C. Police or some small town in Texas. I support law and order. That means the officers also have to follow law and order. But there were really no facts yesterday so much as emotion and tears. And all of it to blame anyone who might have voted for Trump. I've got a guest today. You want to hear this. This is Jay Green, a heritage education expert. I'm having him join me because there's a report out that major universities are showing that they're hiring more staff for diversity, equity, and inclusion training than history professors or any other related fields of study. Does that make sense? Of course not. And then this story about Simone Biles, or Bills, depending on how you pronounce it, deciding withdrawal from the Olympics. Real issues or a stunt? It's very confusing. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
If you have mold in your home, your family can get very sick. You need to call Wellington Environmental. Realtors, even hospitals and doctors call Wellington to solve mold issues. A Belleville homeowner discovered mold. Good thing he called Wellington. The mold is gone, and Wellington's new chemical process saved him $3,500. A university was facing some major mold issues. They called Wellington. Issue solved. The university saved $40,000. Wellington also helps research and test new products to deal with mold. Call 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the BBB, Missouri and Illinois. Say you heard about Wellington on Larry Connors USA. Save $100 on any mold treatment or $50 on mold sampling. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality and lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned. Run, run, run with a railroad when their backs are turned.
Run, run, run with a railroad.
Get out of their sight.
When the engine turns, then you gotta move on. And you
gotta move on.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
I heard someone scream. I got one. As I was swarmed by a violent mob, they ripped off my badge. They grabbed and stripped me of my radio. They seized ammunition that was secured to my body. They began to beat me with their fists and with what felt like hard metal objects. At one point, I came face to face with an attacker who repeatedly lunged for me and attempted to remove my firearm. I heard chanting from some in the crowd, "Get his gun and kill him with his own gun."
That is part of the testimony that took place yesterday in the House Select Committee as they began to investigate, hold hearings on January 6th. Pelosi, of course, has indicated from the very beginning, We're gonna investigate. We're gonna find out because it involved, in her words, in her approach, everyone around it that supports that position is that blame it on Trump. I mean, if what are they gonna do when they really don't have Trump to battle and fight and raise as an issue repeatedly? Really, what are they going to do? Well, of course, you know you're next in line if you voted for Trump. Maybe some of you regret you did. Maybe some of you wish you'd done things differently in some ways. I voted for him, and yes, I've called him out on some things that I thought he was not doing right and made it clear that I thought he was wrong on some things from time to time. And I still would. So the issue about this hearing to find out what went wrong on January 6th. Now, keep in mind, Trump had summoned thousands to D.C. to hear him speak down the street from the Capitol because he was contesting and saying that there are problems with this election. It doesn't look right. It was, you know, being it rigged or not, whatever you want. And there were a lot of questions, and there still are a lot of questions about some of the ballots that were counted. And he told them, come to the Capitol that day, make your voices heard, because that was the day members of Congress came together and accepted the Electoral College votes and certified Biden was the winner. That was the whole purpose. Trump did tell some of his crowd, go on down there, let your voices be heard. But he never said, go battle police. And we've since learned that there was another group already at the Capitol, already making some plans. And in fact, some 3 weeks before all of this happened, Capitol Police intel learned that a violent group was going to be mixed in or maybe even initiate some action, and nothing was done about it. Now, we're going to get to that part of the story again. We covered some of it yesterday. I hope you're staying abreast, but I understand it's extremely hard to keep up with everything the way things are going. Believe me. When I come in today and I have a pretty good idea what I'm going to do, and then more things are happening, and then I'm having to decide constantly, what am I throwing out, but I got to keep in? No, maybe I need that in, throw that one out. It's a constant decision. I'm not saying I do it correct all the time. So I understand from your side. And sometimes it's just overwhelming. Enough, I just can't take anymore. I understand that, but I appreciate you following this program as I try to break out some pieces for you. I am a conservative base. I have independent views as well, and I have some that are considered liberal views. My main concern, though, with this program is 100% patriotism. And assaulting our U.S. Capitol, and they were doing that, and assaulting Capitol Police and D.C. Police trying to protect the Capitol and members of Congress, that is not patriotic. Not patriotic. But at the same time, taking that event and trying to weaponize it against conservatives forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever eternity, that's also not patriotic. So Pelosi said she wanted to get facts. And keep in mind, while she's saying, I want facts, she continues to mislabel what happened on a continuous basis. She did it again just 2 days ago.
We have had an unprecedented action, an assault, an insurrection against our government, an assault on the Capitol building, which is an assault on the Congress, on a day that the Constitution required us, by the Constitution, to validate the work of the Electoral College. So this was not just any day of the week. This was a constitutionally required day of action for Congress. So I can stay, the Republicans will say what they will say. Our select committee will seek the truth. It's our patriotic duty to do so. And we do not come into our work worried about what the other side, who has been afraid of us, maybe the Republicans can't handle the truth.
Oh, that's right. That's right. We can't handle the truth. Well, Pelosi, let me correct you. Let's go back to one point, just one point. When you stand there and say this was an insurrection, it was not an insurrection. An insurrection would be a clear attempt to overthrow the government, rebelling and fighting against the government at all levels. Was this an invasion of the Capitol? Yes. Was it wrong? Yes. When you heard that one officer, the D.C. Metro officer, talking about how he is being attacked and they're trying to grab his gun, and then he says, someone yelling out, use his gun, kill him, use his own gun. I don't know if that happened. That's his report. I'm not going to dismiss it. I can imagine it did, but I do want to remind you of something. You remember the officer we were told was killed by the rioters, the invaders, the insurrectionists? They got hit over the head with a large fire extinguisher, died. After he got back to the station, he died because of a traumatic head injury. Do you remember that story? Do you remember there was never any video with all the cameras out there, all the video? No, nothing ever showed something like that. And do you remember that he even talked to his brother later that day from the station, said, yeah, I'm fine. I got a little whiff of, some tear gas myself or some of the bear repellent that was being sprayed around, but I'm fine. But he wasn't. He ended up having, apparently, based on the autopsy, a cardiac arrest of some type later and dying. And, of course, the only person that was actually killed during the event was a woman trying to get into the Capitol chambers. I've had some big disagreements with even friends. They say they didn't have to shoot her. Well, then you've never been in a situation like that where, in this case, you're not sure where it's going. They're obviously aware of what's happening outside the Capitol. Now, this woman is coming through a broken glass. She's got a backpack. They can see her hands. She doesn't have anything in them, but they don't know what's in the backpack. Are you going to let someone enter the chambers and detonate an explosive? The officer could not stop it. Oh, well, they could have shot the leg. They could fired a warning shot. The woman had numerous opportunities to stop short. She is a military vet. She served our country. I have no doubt in her mind she's being patriotic. But at that point, she had stepped over the line. I told you, I will call it the way I see it. The story of the officer, the D.C. Metro out there, when he said he's surrounded by the crowd and everything, well, yes, we do. That was a terrifying type story. But it also fit the narrative and the emotion and the tug at the tears and everything else that Pelosi wanted. If you recall, Pelosi, in her zeal to get the facts, did not want to hear from or allow on her committee two Republicans appointed by the Republican leadership. Each party gets to select who they want to go on a committee of this type. Jim Jordan of Ohio and Banks of Indiana. They were to go on the committee. But Pelosi said, no, they can't come on. They're too partisan. They're too partisan. As if all the Democrats on the committee are not partisan. Are you serious? We're supposed to buy that? And then the real thing is, does she really want facts? Does she really want true facts in the story to come out? That is a question raised by Congressman Banks after he got kicked off the committee.
Here's the bottom line. Once you go up to the top of the flagpole of who is in charge of the Capitol Police, who the Capitol Police Union chief, they blame the leadership of the Capitol Police. But due to the rules of the United States Capitol, the power structure of the Capitol, Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has more control and authority and responsibility over the leadership of the Capitol Police than anyone else in the United States Capitol. So she doesn't want us to ask these questions because at the end of the day, she is ultimately responsible for the breakdown of security at the Capitol that happened on January 6th.
Yeah, but that would be getting... So these others that she put on there, like Illinois Congressman Kinzinger, a Republican, and Liz Cheney, a Republican. You can say Rhino, Republican in name only. That would be clear. Are they going to ask those kinds of questions? Do you really think they're going to be any hard questions from the ones that she left on there? Do you really believe so? Well, we saw the beginning of where it really was going to go as Illinois Congressman Kinzinger began to make his opening statements and was just almost bawling as he began his statements.
I never expected a day to be quite as emotional for me as it has been. I've talked to a number of you and gotten to know you. I think it's important to tell you right now, though. You guys may, like, individually feel a little broken. You guys all talk about the effects you have to deal with, and, you know, you talk about the impact of that day. But you guys won. You guys held. You know, democracies are not defined by our bad days. We're defined by how we come back from bad days, how we take accountability for that. And for all the overheated rhetoric surrounding this committee, our mission is very simple. It's to find the truth, and it's to ensure accountability.
So are you going to ask legitimate questions? Or are you just going to applaud the Capitol Police and D.C. Police for what they did that day? Now, I would join you in that. I would join you in supporting those who were outside the Capitol as they were being assaulted. I'm for the officers out there. And yes, I'm sure for many it was pretty terrifying, especially being Capitol Police, because normally they don't get that kind of action. I mean, they're checking, you know, your bags and everything when you go in, but they've never been put up against the line like that. Like every day, a police officer on the street, man, woman, black, yellow, red, Muslim, Christian, Protestant, face every day on the street. And this suddenly came to their forefront, and it was just too traumatic for some of them. Well, maybe it was, and maybe they're in the wrong profession to that extent. And, of course, one of those crying out was the Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn, a sergeant. Listen to this.
It was a prolonged and desperate struggle. The rioters attempted to breach the Capitol were shouting, "Trump, send us. Pick the right side. We want Trump." I vividly heard officers screaming in agony and pain just an arm's length from me. I didn't know at that time that was Officer Hodges, and he's here today to testify. I, too, was being crushed by the rioters. I could feel myself losing oxygen and recall thinking to myself, this is how I'm going to die.
Now, I want to stress again to you, make sure you hear me clearly on this. If that's really what he felt, and that was actually Police Sergeant Ganelli, I believe. But if that's what he and the others felt at the time, I can sympathize with it. But the other officers do it on a daily basis. And I want to share what one of the Capitol Police officers who got teary-eyed said, his real true background. And you tell me what's fact and what's fiction. That's coming up.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
All right, so let me go to a story of one of those testifying yesterday, one of the Capitol Police officers. Now, I want to stress again, Capitol Police, they have a duty, and they seldom encounter what they saw January 6th, if ever. They might have to deal with some kind of incursion from here from time to time, from someplace. Secret Service agents, pretty much the same thing. But, of course, they have to be ready and prepared. But when Congressman Banks says that three weeks before all this happened, intel went to Capitol Police saying there is a vicious, violent group that is planning to do something that day in addition to those rallying for Trump, what did Nancy Pelosi do about it? Did she order up more? Did she offer anything? Did she offer say they need to get ready, more equipment? Nope, not a thing. And she had to get that intel report because she is the final word on the Capitol Hill regarding the Capitol Police. But then she has this very much weaponized, politicized January 6th committee saying we're going to get to the facts of the insurrection. And one of those teary-eyed U.S. Capitol Police officers, identified as Harry Dunn. Well, it's been found out since that he had previously defended the riots that we had across the nation last summer, causing billions of dollars in damage. And you do know how many police officers were assaulted and beaten on some of those, and federal marshals, particularly in Portland, where they're trying to defend a federal building, much as what the Capitol Police were doing that day, January 6th. Harry Dunn had even tweeted to Tucker Carlson last August saying, why is murder an appropriate response to property damage, but property damage isn't an appropriate response to murder? I'm not going to get into the answer to all of that, but that was the attitude he was pushing. And he was basically cheering the destructive behavior of rioters last summer who were battling police as well. Keep that up in mind. And he had also previously criticized members of the Trump administration for covering for the president. He also tweeted out one time at former U.S. Secretary of Housing and Urban Development Ben Carson, I'm embarrassed to have once looked up to you. You sold out. You're as egotistic as your boss. And then he added, for what it's worth, I hate Tucker Carlson, what an out-of-touch a-hole is. So forth and so on. This is a guy testifying yesterday, crying through his testimony, how they were having to deal with these insurrectionists. According to him, it was the first time he'd ever been verbally assaulted for his skin color while wearing his police uniform. We got officers all over this nation being assaulted, even if they're black, white, yellow, red, because of the uniform. I will stand with police when they're doing the right job and the correct job. I'll stand with that officer out there when he's actually trying to keep people from assaulting other officers. But quit trying to weaponize it and create material that wasn't there. I mean, we already get that from Liz Cheney, who had been, of course, a member as appointed by Pelosi as one of the Republicans to go on it. Congresswoman Stefanik, a Republican House member, said Cheney is nothing more than a Pelosi pawn. And I think she's right about that. All right, let's turn the corner. I got something else I want to get into. By the way, before we wrap up today, I want to tell you about a new defund the movement of police in New York City and what it means. But coming up next, how major universities, they seem to be more concerned about bringing in professors for diversity, equity, and inclusion than actually teaching and educating students. No surprise, but when you hear the numbers, you may say, what? Coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
There's a report out from the Heritage Foundation that finds what it calls a bloat in universities where diversity, equity, inclusion, also known as DEI staff, outnumber professors in the prominent schools' history departments, in the history departments. The Heritage Foundation searched the staff of 65 universities within the 5 major athletic conferences. Of course, you know, many of you, the Atlantic Coast, the Big Ten, the Big 12, the Pac-12, Southwest, or I should say Southeast Conference. The average school had 45 onboard staff whose primary and formal responsibility was not to educate, but to indoctrinate, to promote diversity, equity, and inclusion. So the average university is seeing 3.4 staff members promoting all of those for every 100 tenured faculty members. You think there's something wrong there? I do, and my guest joining us has a view as well, Jay Green, Heritage Education Expert. Jay, glad to have you on board.
Thanks for having me on the show.
Well, let's begin with what I just read, and you're familiar with that report since it's from your group. I mean, when I look at that, I think, and I was just talking to a friend the other night, and they're talking about, you know, my daughter is coming back from Boulder, Colorado, Boulder University up there, whatever it is in Boulder, and has gone completely, in her words, libtard, because that's not the way she went off, but she's coming back that way. What you just found in your report that I quoted pretty well described why. Go ahead, sir.
Sure, yeah. So we just looked at the websites of these 65 universities to count the number of diversity, equity, and inclusion staff. These are people who have official responsibility for promoting these particular social goals. So we're not counting faculty. So we're not counting people in African-American studies or women's studies departments. We're just counting staff who are there to program lectures, conferences, and also to organize trainings to promote a particular set of goals. And what we found is that it's a very large staff at the average university, and so large that at the typical university, it far exceeds the number of history faculty. It's also many times more than the number of staff they have to comply with requirements for providing services for disabled people. So it's a very large commitment by universities this particular set of goals.
And when we say staff in that case, I mean, there's a legitimate reason to have those who are trained and skilled in talking about and teaching diversity and equity and inclusion. I don't have a big issue, but it has become a predominant issue when you're really sending your child off to get an education. They're coming out social activists. Now, if you want them to be a social activist, then you got what you paid for. But they're not coming out. They're not coming out with anything of value. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, we agree. In the report, we say that we're not arguing for eliminating these staff. We're just arguing for the staff to be appropriately sized relative to other staffing priorities. I mean, universities have a lot of things that they're supposed to be doing, and this has just consumed more of their attention and resources than other legitimate goals of the university.
And the issue being there, then, that if they're employing more staff for that, then there are fewer to be employed that are actually doing teaching, such as history and things of that nature.
That's exactly right. And we want our students to receive well-rounded educations and not to receive a narrow political agenda as their university education.
Well, now, some of the schools you quote in this, and again, folks, you're listening to Jay Green, one of the contributors, along with James D. Paul with the Heritage Foundation, on this study of finding how many universities around the nation have a bloat of diversity, equity, and inclusion staff versus true professors of teaching knowledge, not indoctrination. And I'm not surprised by some of the numbers you find when you look at some of the schools. University of Virginia, 6.5 DEI staff for every 100 tenure or tenure track faculty members. Syracuse, 7.4 devoted to promoting DEI for every 100 core professors. University of California, Berkeley, again, no big surprise there, 6.1. But every one of those says the child goes to that school, they're really coming away more with what?
Well, I think what they're receiving is a very heavy dose of a very narrow political agenda. I mean, look, the University of Michigan has the largest staff of any of the universities we looked at. It has 163 people with formal responsibility for promoting diversity, equity, and inclusion. And they have these people at the university level, and then they repeat it at the college level as well. So it's not just how many people they have to pursue this narrow agenda, but even the kind of inefficiency and bloat. The enormous amount of resources devoted to this, in some ways it feels like it's a symbolic sacrifice of resources
to
appease angry constituents.
Perfect. That's a perfect point, because maybe a lot of the alum are on that side and they want that money to continue to come in. Now, you mentioned University of Michigan. You point out that on its website, it describes a campus-wide initiative as designed to, quote, encourage a culture of belonging in which every member of our community can grow and thrive. I wouldn't argue against that point. I want inclusion. But in many cases, they don't really mean inclusion, because it ends up being exclusion. And a perfect example now would be women in track sports and so forth that are suddenly, their scholarship is in jeopardy because a transgender is competing. Oh, we want inclusion, but now look what you've done. You destroyed not only the woman's movement, if you're concerned, you've also destroyed a young woman's opportunity to get a scholarship based on her ability, because there's no way out of the starting block she can compete with a transgender.
Yeah, so I mean, to see whether these staff actually were helping the legitimate goal of inclusion, you know, as you mentioned, we looked at surveys that these universities administer to their students called climate surveys. And what we found is that universities with bigger DEI staff or diversity, equity, and inclusion staff, they don't have any better climates for inclusion than the places with very small staff. In fact, it was tended to be the opposite.
I think
that actually rather than being inclusive, a lot of what these staff promote is actually divisive.
That's where I was going. You're right. It's exclusive and divisive. We do want to point out that Baylor University, I mean, not all fall into that. Baylor University, you point out, has three times as many history professors as DEI. Baylor being a Baptist college, South Carolina, Rutgers, others have similar. Before I let you go, and I want to thank you again, Jay Green with the Heritage Education on this. I want to read this story to you and get a quick response to you from you. I've got a story in front of me here that a physician who is teaching a course at the University of California System Medical School made a remark that then he apologized for. Here's what the doctor, according to a medical student's recording, stated. And again, this is a physician. He said, "I said when a woman is pregnant, which implies that only women can get pregnant, and I most sincerely apologize to all of you." That statement and that apology tells me everything. Your reaction?
I think that's exactly the kind of culture that's fostered by a disproportionate attention to a very narrow political agenda. And so it makes faculty members afraid. They think they're supposed to apologize. They're afraid they'll be reported.
Right.
And some way punished for expressing a wrong thought. Because, again, these staff are really about enforcing right thoughts rather than primarily about education.
And the only statement from the physician was, "When a woman is pregnant." I'm going to deal with that in more detail, but I'm going to let Jay go. Jay Green, Heritage Education Expert, thank you very much for joining us, sir.
Thank you.
You bet. We appreciate it. So let me expand on this story with you folks for the rest of the segment. This doctor, according to the med student, made that apology just like that and added this: "I don't want you to think that I in any way trying to imply anything, and if you can summon some generosity to forgive me, I would really appreciate it. Again, I'm very sorry for that. It was certainly not any intention to offend anyone. The worst thing I can do as a human being is be offensive." It's a doctor telling them, saying a pregnant woman. And it was a part of a class on transgender health. Another instructor, maybe the same one, I can't tell by this, talking about biological sex, sexual orientation, and gender are all constructs. These are all constructs that we have created. God created man and woman. And God created them as they are biologically. You want to change your name? You want to have surgery and change your biological makeup? You now have the right and permission and basic encouragement to do so, and maybe even push it on children who are just simply lost. You're not going to have girls wanting to climb trees as tomboys, because then suddenly, well, they might really be a boy. We need to have an operation. And if parents won't do it, we'll take them away from them. But here's a physician talking to medical school students and making that statement. A woman is pregnant. Oh, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that, because I'm indicating... You're indicating what? Only a woman can be pregnant? That's a fact. But not in this new woke culture we're facing at this point. And then we've got this effort to defund police, reform, in other words, wipe them out and send unqualified people into desperate situations. New York City moving forward. Watch the death count escalate. That story coming up. If you want great Italian food, there's only one choice. Well, wait a minute. There are really three choices, but all of them are Cafe Napoli. Cafe Napoli in Clayton, Town and Country, and now the streets of St. Charles. Visit any of them. Visit all of them. Cafe Napoli, family owned since 1989. Cafe Napoli sponsors this next segment.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Since we're just talking about what's happening at our institutes of higher learning, supposedly, let me share this with you quickly. Curtis Sliwa is, of course, the Republican candidate for New York City mayor. And he's already sounding the alarm. Curtis Sliwa, of course, who brought the guardian angels to the forefront in helping police battle crime in the streets and defusing things. And he's sounding the alarm as what he said is happening right now in our city public schools. Now, what we were describing a moment ago, you're hearing what's happening in institutes of higher learning. But the indoctrination could start much earlier, and we're seeing it. We knew it was going on under this CRT, critical race theory. And Sliwa says it is a slow creep of CRT into the New York City schools. He said, I've got three sons in public schools. All of them should have been redshirted. All his children should have been redshirted because we stole an academic year from them in which they spent half the time playing Fortnite and on their computers instead of listening to instructions, if they even had a laptop. And now instead of helping them move forward, we're talking about systemic racism and not giving them real education. He adds, let's face it, if the kid can't read, the kid can't write, if the child can't function in a classroom atmosphere, how can educators anticipate creating a culturally diverse curriculum that's going to address the issue? So it's back to the basics. Yeah, he's right. I agree with that. And then also we had at the beginning of the hour, of course, the January 6th select committee hearing that Nancy Pelosi put together. Said she wanted facts. What they got were a lot of emotions, which was exactly what they wanted. And I'm just wondering how many of the Capitol Police or D.C. officers they interviewed to get their stories and decided, it just doesn't tug at the heartstrings enough. And I'm not dismissing what the officers encountered that day. And I'm not trying to belittle them or what they faced. They were there, I wasn't. But I do know that on a daily 8 to 10 hour shift, maybe a 12 hour shift for officers across the nation in various departments, various jurisdictions, they faced a lot more trauma on a pretty consistent basis. This was one day in a period of time, and yes, it was bad, it was tragic, it looked nasty, and it was not patriotic. But if that one event, if you're standing in the line doing that and that made you so traumatic, I think you need to get in another line. Now, so another thing, if we've got soldiers coming back, which we do from our various wars, and they're so traumatized they're committing suicide, we have police officers doing it on a pretty regular basis, unfortunately. And yes, there were some of the officers that supposedly were involved in protecting the Capitol, at least two of them that committed suicide. But whether or not it's tied to that event or others, I don't know. If the officer needs help, I'm willing to give them help. But what I hate is weaponizing this, as we see Pelosi doing. So here's what New York City is now doing, because to meet this cry for reform, let's have police reform, or actually, you know, basically get rid of police. That's what they're really talking about in many cases. New York City is now experimenting with alternatives to policing. They are launching the Behavioral Health Emergency Assistance Response Division. Oh, they got an acronym for that. BHERD. Be heard. Get it? It dispatches social workers and New York paramedics to certain mental health related 911 calls. We don't need to see a police officer. We'll send one of these health related social workers and a paramedic. You do know, and I pointed out to you the other day, yesterday as a matter of fact, that half of the 911 operators and I have been showing up for work, and so others are having to fill in. They're just kind of themselves, to use the pun, phoning it in themselves. They're not really reacting that fast because too much work coming in. And now you're going to send social workers to defuse an issue that involves a mental health case? You know how many times officers are and are members of a family are hurt trying to deal with some member of the family or relative who has mental health issues? And there are cases already where paramedics, fire department personnel, will not go into a scene unless police are there because they're going to be shot at and they might be attacked. But this alternative policing thing is that we will send these folks in. But they also say if it's a more serious or violent call, well, then we will begin to send police in. Like maybe when you send your social worker and a paramedic to check about a guy that's running around naked with a knife threatening people, and then suddenly cuts the paramedic, losing blood, and then goes after the social worker. Is that when you say, maybe we need to send a police officer? But again, we got some saying police officers should just leave their guns in the car. They don't use them all the time, so leave them there. Which is a defying, stupid logic when you're claiming police are shooting everybody, and then you're saying, well, they're not using them. Oh, but now since they're not using them, leaving them. Does anyone make any sense out of that? No. Hell no. Coming up the second, if you missed any of this hour, get in on the podcast. Make sure you share it with your friends and relatives. I do appreciate it. But in the next hour, are you willing to accept you've got to be masked up, you've got to be under quarantine, you've got to get vaccinated and then do it all over again while illegals are coming in left and right and nothing's being done? Next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.